Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, that's where we'll start off, is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And the reason to look at this verse, let's read it first. He says this, verse 11. We'll start at verse 11. In whom also we have, in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. And I was thinking about this Saturday, is what our biggest drawback is as believers. And it's after we believe. You know, it's easy. Salvation is free. It's easy to trust Christ. You believe that he died for you. You believe that he was buried for you. You believe that he was resurrected. And you put your trust in him for salvation. And you see, you know, that's great. That's what, as one guy said, that's what gets us in the door. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's after you believe, what happens? I'm not talking about your work either. It's what we don't know that happened to us. Mm-hmm. That's our downfall. You know, I liken that to a job. You can go on a job and they'll give you a benefits package. But how many people actually look at it? So they don't really know the benefits that they have being with the company.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So with God, we don't know the benefits that we have after we believe, because we are very slow to investigate those things, for one. And then when we do see them, we're very slow to believe those things. Okay. So when he said this, this is what we says after ye believed. In verse 13, he says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the what?
The word. Boy.
The word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the first thing you think about is, I think, is this. Is he says it's the word of truth. We know that God cannot
lie.
He cannot lie. You have to come to his word. You have to, like Hebrews says, he that cometh to God must first believe
that he is.
And he is a
rewarder
of those that diligently seek him. So you can't come to God if you trust him at his word. You can't come to him and wonder, is he able to do this? Mm-hmm. That's what the scripture said about Abraham, that he was strong in faith, mm-hmm. giving glory to God, believing that what he had promised, he was
able
also to what?
Do.
Yeah. Look at Romans. Look at Romans 4. That's not on the list, but Romans 4. Right. Romans 4, verse 19. As a matter of fact, 18. Mr. Martin, good morning.
Hey.
Chapter 4, verse 18, this is talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. Do you see that? That was the gospel to Abraham. That which was spoken was the gospel to him.
I thought you said Romans 4, 18.
4, 8.
Oh, 8. I wonder if I'm wrong.
4, 8. Yeah, I said 18.
4, 18.
Mm-hmm. 4, 18. Well,
he says, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Mm-hmm. Who told Abraham that?
God.
That he would be a father of many nations.
God spoke it.
And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being somewhat persuaded.
Fully.
Partially persuaded.
Fully.
He being fully persuaded that what he, that's God, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Okay, back to Ephesians. Now that's, we know that those things are, Abraham is the pattern. He's a father of faith, right? For us.
Yeah.
We are to believe what? Like he believed. We are to be fully persuaded. We are to be strong in faith, fully persuaded that what God promises us, that he's able also to perform it.
Mm-hmm. Almost like the fountain of youth, isn't it?
For him, it was.
Exactly.
But that's God's promise to him. Yeah. That's not his promise to us.
Amen.
So when you look at this, you can say, you know what? That's great. Abraham, what a guy. But when we read it, we might read and we find a hiccup that keeps us from believing what it is. Verse, we're in Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse, back to 13. He says, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. What comes first?
Hearing.
Faith, we know that faith comes by hearing. And hearing. So the first thing is, what does God say to you or to us today? Our problem is now we try to cash in on promises that were not made to us.
Yeah.
And you find out that, well, I won't say that. You, like Paul says, not as though the word of God has taken none effect. Not that he is short on the power. It's just that that wasn't his promise to you. So you will try to make him do things that he never said he would do. Mm-hmm. Or you will try to get God to do things in your life that he never said he would do. And so when they fail, you say what?
It's God's fault.
It's God's fault. Mm-hmm. Why did God do this to me? Mm-hmm. Why won't he do this for me? But when you search and see, you can find where he says, this is for you. You know, Paul said, he says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our
learning.
Right. That check was written for you to say, look what he did for them, not for you to try to cash.
If we endorse it,
what was that again?
Romans 15.
Which you just quoted.
Yeah, well, 15. We can look at it. Romans 15.
So you're saying you can't cash that check except by forgery.
And
that's only an attempt.
And even when you cash it, guess what they'll come back and tell you? Insufficient funds. And you'll say, well, wait a minute. God wrote that check.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, yeah, it's been cashed.
Wasn't made payable to you.
Right, it's not right. Made to the order of, pay to the order of, it won't be you. 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, afore what time?
Ahead of time.
Time passed.
Afore, when Paul's writing, he says, I have some information, I have some promises from God. To me, to you.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, I'm the deliverer of the promises. Mm-hmm. This is what God told me to tell you. So he says, but whatsoever things were written aforetime, he says, were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. You know what you learn? You do learn this, that when God makes a promise, he delivers. Amen. You can see this. We just read one. We promised Abraham this. Didn't he promise? And Abraham believed God, and God what?
Performed.
He performed it. You know what? When he met Sarah back there, he says, you're going to have a child. And that's what she did. She laughed. She laughed. She's like, shall I find pleasure in my old age? And when he came back and the angel says, why did you laugh? She said, I didn't laugh.
Who laughed?
And he said, no, you did. I like that. He said, nay, but you did. And he said this. He says, you mark this day and I'll be back according to the time of life. And you see, don't see if he's telling you the truth. So he came back how long?
I don't know.
The time of life?
9 months.
9 months. 9 months. I bet 9 months till the day he comes back.
Well.
And she says, you know what? His name is Isaac. Why? Why his name Isaac? It's a reminder. It was a reminder for her because she did what? You know what? Oh, well, you know what Isaac means?
Laughter.
Oh, is that right?
You know what? It's a reminder for her. Yeah. See, you didn't believe. I bet you believe now. And she said, ah, I sure do. But that's the promise to her.
Yeah.
And Abraham.
Thank God.
But what happened between that? She stumbled. Even after that, because she says, well, maybe it's by Hagar. Go into her. And Abraham, when he should have waited on God, he says, well, maybe you're right. It's been a while.
They knew that was wrong.
It's been a while, and nothing's happened. So, and what did he do? He opened up a can of worms. By not. But you know what? What I like about God, he looks at this, and he says Abraham was not weak in faith.
Strong in faith.
Fully persuaded.
Mm-hmm. And followed his wife's directions.
So, you know what that tells you? That, I want to say, there is some things that may happen in our lives that will prevent us from fully embracing it at one time. You know, after a while you've been waiting, and you said, well, I'm going to give up. That's what we say in our minds, because it's not on our schedule. But you better make sure that it's something that God said he would do. And the thing is, what God is doing now is on a spiritual level. Those are things that, you know, I was getting ready this morning, and a lady called me, she says, she said, you know what? The problem with this is, she says, I want to know what God would do for me. You know, she hung up. She said, I want to know what God would do for me in this, in these areas right here. That's what I want to know. That's what people want to know. And I thought, you know what? I said, that's right. I understand that. And I said, with all, you know, and I say this with charity, I said, that's part of the problem, is people want to know what God will do for them.
Now.
Now. Like he's a genie. But
it's
say it again.
It's his program, not ours.
Are you sure?
Yes.
That's where.
To do it. Yes.
But 90% of us, we think it's our program.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is how you pray. Lord, I. Lord, me. Lord, my. Lord, mine. It has nothing to do with him. Thank, like he says, be thankful. Where you said, Lord, thank you for what you did for me. Lord, thank you for your son. Lord, thank you for your spiritual blessings. Lord, thank you for making me a part of your purpose and plan. What makes you disappointed is when you find out that he is not your Aaron God.
Amen.
Then you got to switch.
Well, this story reminds me of a couple of weeks ago. I prayed. I said, Lord, I need some old business and new business. It doesn't matter which way it comes from. And within a week, some guy calls me. He says, Frank, you put in an alarm here 15 years ago. We need a new keypad. It went bad. I said, boy, it goes back a ways.
And you know what? Now think about this. You know what? I hate to get into that because Well, it's a great area because, you know what, a guy told me this. He was a guy who's much more advanced and older than me, too. And we were talking one day, and we talk all the time. And he said this. He said, you know, he said, Frank, he says, I don't know what he said, but I remember this. He says, if all that's true, he said, we are today's Bible characters. And, you know, it's just like, whoa. It hit me. It's like.
He's right.
He's right. The people we're reading about, it's us.
It's the same thing over and over.
So it's just that he's not recording this stuff. But the thing is if he provided for them what they needed.
Which he did.
Then being the God, a faithful God, he would have to provide for us what we need. But here's the catch. Here's the catch.
According to his will.
Say it again.
Yes. According to his will.
According to his will.
But you know what? Truthfully, he has already provided. If you think about the earth, it produces more than what we can already have. I mean, it's just the man that people starving because of us. It ain't because the earth haven't produced.
Right. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. And see, that's the problem is when you say, Lord, the Lord will make a way. For every five people that say that, there's five more that have to explain why the Lord did make a way. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
I was just going to say, I heard somebody using this example in a teaching I was listening to this week, you know, where somebody says, oh, well, thank the Lord, you know, that the children's bus was in an accident, and praise the Lord, my child was, you know, the Lord was protecting him, and he's saved. It's like, but what about the kids that got injured or killed? Were they not being protected? It's like, yeah.
Right.
Well, that's a selfish prayer, that's all.
See, and that's the key, is it's centered around you.
Right.
Focus is on right.
So the thing is, it's like this. Or what do we say, Timothy? 1 Timothy chapter 6.
What can he do for me?
Right. Yeah. But now be honest with you. Because I did. And I still do sometimes. When you are not focused on his will and what he wants, you will find yourself saying, Lord, if you could just do this, just one thing.
Mm-hmm. Just certain rules, one time.
For me, just, you know I love you, Lord. That's, you can just. And then, you know, you find yourself, you're like, really? Did you just pray that? And that's what, like, the Spirit, you know what, maketh intercession for us. Because he knows what is the mind. The Spirit searches the deep things of God. Not Sharon. He searches the deep things of God, and he makes intercession for us according to the will of God.
Amen.
So when you pray all that, and when it gets filtered, by the time it, you know what the Lord says, that's the Holy Spirit says, you know, she said this, but when you translate it, this is what they really need right here.
You know, from the time I was a kid learning to pray or just praying, we always ended our prayers with God bless everybody in the whole world. That was the way we did at home. But I don't do that anymore. Every now and then I do that. But I think in the older days, maybe before my time, the people used to pray for everybody in the world.
And it's nothing wrong with that. But you think about it, like James said, if you pray for everybody, and we do pray for all men, that all men might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And the scripture says this, God is a savior of all men.
Amen. Here's the catch.
Especially those that believe. So when he died, he died for how many?
Everybody.
The whole world. How many will be saved?
A little bit.
Only those that believe.
I got you.
So you couldn't go to God and say, you know what? I didn't get saved and it's your fault.
I don't think that'll work.
And that's what you know what he says, I sent you
a boat.
In the boat or airplane in the form of his word. Whether it's through another person, whether it's printed material, whether it's over the air radio waves or airwaves.
I sent you the videotape.
I sent you
this.
All that stuff you went through.
I text you.
I text you, right. I sent that email.
Right.
and you know what? I believe when you get there, yeah.
Have a scroll of everything that
you know
did.
What?
Yeah.
You know how they say, pull up that frame. Do you remember that day?
What'd you do? Nothing.
He said, that man, he gave you that track right there.
There's going to be a lot of looking down.
Mm-hmm.
Shame.
January 15th, 1983, 7 o'clock, 7:15 and 39 seconds. And you rejected it.
Oh,
is that my fault?
Nope.
I sent it again.
Oh.
3 years later. You know, I'm just.
Yeah.
You don't think. Look, in Revelation, he said this. He said that the rocks will be a witness against those people. Or Matthew. He said the rocks will be a witness in that day. Mm-hmm. He said, oh, they heard it. Yeah, they heard it. Can you imagine that? God says that. That's my witness.
Who's going to argue with him?
What does that sound? Oh, Timothy. Timothy.
Exactly.
Right. He says this. Verse 6 and verse 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6.
That's 1 Timothy, right?
1 Timothy. 6 verse 6. And the reason we're just going there, because I see that God's point of contact with us is his word. Mm-hmm. And our point of detachment is his word. If he's chosen, this is the way that I want to relate to you and to communicate with you, and that's the thing that you don't believe. He says, we have we have a failure to communicate. There's something wrong. So he says this in 6, where James was saying that we talked about what God has done. These things are available for us. He says, but godliness with
contentment
is great gain. Verse 5, I missed that. He says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. He said, there's some guys out there who is making the conclusion that the more I have, the more God is for me. The more I get, the more godly I am. And he said this. He says that they're destitute of the truth. Destitute is desolate. That means they don't have it. They don't have any of it. wait a minute. So don't we hear this week after week? That the more you get, the more God is involved with you. The more you accumulate, God's on your side. And you think, what? Wait a minute. Paul, again, the man who delivers the promises to you from God, Paul says that gain is not godliness.
Amen.
Okay, here's the choice we have to make. Here's the choice. You just read that. Gain is not godliness.
Are you supposed to quit praying for?
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying this. Sort of. You just read it. Gain is not a sign that God is on your side. Gain is not a sign that God is working with you and you are working with God. Gain is not an indicator of your spiritual relationship.
Yeah, it's like it's neutral. It's not saying it's bad or good necessarily. Like some people place
gain
is not
godliness.
But if you're gaining more knowledge of what you're reading in this book, that would exclude that, wouldn't it?
Materialistic. Materially speaking.
Possessions.
Right. Is not. That's why he said this. He says, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain.
Amen.
He goes on to explain it. 4, what do you mean, Paul, that godliness with contentment is great gain? He says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. You got a hamburger? You got a pair of jeans?
That's it.
You're set.
See, you know what? Even in my mind, when I just said that,
yeah.
I'm thinking, that's it.
That's it. I need a car, and I need a job, and I need this, I need a roof over my head.
You know what?
But in society today, you need all of those things.
See that? That's what.
Yep, I heard it.
But you know what? Listen, we are avaricious. That means that we have more than enough, and we want more than we need. We have. You know what? You go into the average household, we have a TV in every room, not one. We have a closet closed enough for a month, not for the week. We have a cupboard full of food. Like you said, we have enough money to feed the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people in America that's starving.
That's because of the laws, the people.
The people. You don't have to go any farther. It's because the people, we're not focused. So there's no excuse for it. But anyway, but God is not talking to everybody. He's talking to His, to the ones that belong to Him. So He said this. He says, verse
7-9.
But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And he goes on to talk about what happens. So we should be content, but that was after you believe. You trust him, but then we have to grow to that.
Amen.
You have to grow to that. Now, back to Ephesians, which is the whole point of this is is for us to, when we see what God has promised us, is to be able to embrace that by faith. Because without faith, it's what?
Possible.
Please God. Impossible.
Not only that, it's impossible for him to give you what he wants to give you and for you to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have something that you don't even know the value of. Mm-hmm. You know, I watched this show on TV called Storage Wars. Mm-hmm. And they look in there and then they see all this stuff in there and they just bid on it. Mm-hmm. They don't know what's in there. They don't know what's in there. He's taking the chance. And when they unpack it, they see some things and they says, I don't know what this is, but it might be valuable. I don't know what this is, but it looks valuable. So let me take it to somebody and have them take a look at it. Sometimes it's worth more money than they pay for the whole bin. Sometimes it's worth nothing. So when Christ died for us, was buried, was resurrected, we become believers, we trust him for salvation, and then he says, now that's some treasures I got for you, but you only get this by believing. And your unbelief will, it'll keep you from embracing the value of it. So you might look, you might have it, you might read about it every week, but you don't know the value of it because you haven't what?
Discovered it.
You haven't discovered it by faith. You haven't believed it. We'll see that. It may not make sense, but we'll keep going here.
Thanks, sir.
Ephesians, we'll go back in chapter 1.
Ephesians chapter 1.
Chapter 1. He said this, in whom also we trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. So we realize now that it must be by faith. That's how we access these things, by faith, because you don't see them. Do you see that? Did you see the gospel of your salvation? No. Did you see?
We read it in this book and we believe it.
You have to embrace it by faith. Amen. Now faith, the Hebrew said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? The substance and the what?
Evidence.
The evidence. You know what? It's not in my hand, but guess what? It may as well be.
You can't see it, but you're holding it.
It's this, that's you holding it
by faith.
Now, that doesn't mean that you just drum up something in your mind and say, this is the way it is. It's his promise, right? He names it, you claim it. Not you name it and claim it. Otherwise, you're going to find out the claim insufficient. Insufficient claim. Or like the, you had the unclaimed, remember unclaimed freight?
Yeah.
It's going to be unclaimed promise because God is like, I didn't tell you that. Where you get that from? But it's the substance of things hoped for, expected. Not, I hope that. It's, he said something, I expect this. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't see that. But if he said it's coming, guess what I believe? I believe it's coming. Paul, when he was on shipwreck, he said, the angel of the Lord appeared to me, whose I am. And he said that, Paul, everything's going to be okay. He said, but you got to stay in the boat. And he goes back to those men and he says, men, take something to eat. He says, God has told me everything's going to be okay. God has told me. And he said this, and I believe it will be just like he said. But you got to stay in the boat.
Yeah.
You have to believe. So when the storm's raging and And the guy says, "We got to get out of this boat." What if he jumps out? What happens? He better stay, because the promise was that you have to stay in the boat. If you get out, you outside of the scope.
Yeah,
and
that wasn't an allegory.
That was
for real.
That's right. You know, Hebrews says that, Hebrews 4 said this. He says that the word didn't work in them because it was not mixed with faith. You know, you have to, when the word comes, it can't work without what?
Faith.
Do you, Hebrews 4? Because, see, I can tell you that, but if you look at it, you can say, I read that. Faith comes by?
Hearing.
Okay, Hebrews 4, verse 2.
We got back to the outline.
Oh, yeah, it is. I'm okay, good. Good. He said this.
Hebrews 4.
For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached, faith comes by
hearing,
and hearing by the
word of God.
So the word came, but it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So when God sent that promise out to them, says, this is your rest.
Amen.
Go in to the land and inherit it. You remember that?
Yeah.
He said, pick 12. You pick 12.
Yeah.
You pick 12. Send them in there. Tell them to check it out and see if I'm telling you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a land flowing with milk and honey.
Only two saw that.
12 went in. 10 said,
can't do it.
Man, there's
some
giants in there. We ain't
even
want to go
there. So, and they come, right? When they come out and they told the rest of the people, it's what he said.
We can't take that.
It's just like he said, but something stopped them from embracing it.
Yeah. Fear.
Lack of faith. Look, if he brought you out of Egypt and he defeated the Egyptians
and he
brought you through the wilderness and he kept your feet cool and he kept your head cool and he kept you. If he tells you that it's time to go over there, what's the hang up?
Yeah.
Dummies.
No, see? It's the same with us.
Mm-hmm.
See, we can look back there, like he said in Matthew, he said, if we had been back there, we would have never done that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's only because we're sitting here.
That's only that. Right. Because somebody back there saying like this, he said, if Sodom and Gomorrah had heard what you're hearing, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes.
Yeah.
So you can always say this, but it's that's why he said this. He says, harden not your heart today.
Yeah.
So this is it today. So when you read it, you say, this is God's promise to me.
Mm-hmm.
How am I responding to this? And he said it was not mixed with faith. Faith is the activator.
Yes.
You know, we sell
you'll be having a lot of faith.
I mean, and all it is just believing what God said.
Yeah.
Is we sell epoxies, and you have two things. It's one element, and then it's one thing they call it it's either the accelerator or the activator. And you put them in this gun, and you shoot it. And when they come down the tubes, they mix together. So you got one product and another product, and when it comes through that tube, it forms it. And it works.
Without one.
But if you got one, and don't have the other one, guess what?
It don't work.
You can shoot all day. It's not, it won't work. And God said this, you can hear this all day long. How long you been saved? 5 years? 10 years? A year? 2 years? You can, you know what? You can read through this all day, all night. You can hear it. But until you believe it, it won't change your mind, your behavior, one iota.
I started to say since I've been coming here, but really I always believed. So, but I didn't know what I was believing other than that God. I didn't know Jesus Christ stepped in front of him and you pass it through him to go on to, and then the Holy Ghost sneaks around and gets him.
All right, let's see how he snuck around. Look at.
Well, if you had met the first two, then you get the third. It's like three things going in that.
Well, here's the deal. The thing is, where he says if you met the first two, it's
the Holy Ghost if you admit them.
It's a package.
Right.
Where you talk about God, it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He says, and John said this, and these three agree in one. Now, you know what? Here's where your faith is. He just told you that three is one.
In school, they tell you two and two is five.
Well, but when he... Like this, he says, well, if God's in us all, through us all, in us all, Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And you know the Holy Spirit is indwelling us, right?
Yeah.
So wait a minute. Do you have three in you or one in you?
That's right. Well, you got three. As one.
Look, that's the thing. You know what? If somebody says... Is it the Holy Spirit in you? Yep. Okay. Is Christ in you? Yep. Is God the Father in you? Yep. Is it one or three?
One. That makes sense.
Same difference.
Both. Right. You can say, you know what? I'm indwelt by the triune God.
Yes.
Now, if you want to figure it out, then go back and figure it out. What I'm going to do, I'm going to believe it.
Amen.
I'm going to believe it. All right. Ephesians. Ephesians. Back to chapter 1. I wanted to bring out one point, and I can see we're not going to hit those. But he says this. He says, after that you believe, verse 13, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now this is after that you believed, where Frank said the Holy Spirit comes in there and back some kind of way.
Well, I had to say backdoored you, but he's there.
And that is after you believe is where what really takes place when you open the door to God's effectual power, because he makes sure that what he promised you, that he will deliver. Because he said this in Corinthians, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body.
Yes.
So when you get saved, he takes you, this is spiritual, you don't feel this, you don't see this, he takes you and puts you into the body of Christ.
Amen.
And then you get in Christ, and he said this, not only are you in there, and he does what? He seals you. He seals you until the day of redemption.
Amen.
Do you feel that?
I feel a scratch every
now and then. No, you're not gonna feel it. But he said, you know what? He says, I'm in there.
Yeah.
And not only am I in there, he says, think about this. He's indwelling you, and yet he's sealing you. Mm-hmm. Because, no, what he says, the seal is this, and we won't look at the verses. He said, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He says, and let this seal be on them. That's, you know what, he knows that you can say, oh, I'm it's not my job to tell whether you saved or not. The Holy Spirit can verify that.
Yeah.
And he said that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are. You know what? You know whether you saved or not based on what you believe. Mm-hmm. Now, if you think it's up to you, you're going to always wonder, like, I hope I'm saved. Mm-hmm. I hope I make it. But if you know it's up to him and you left it up to him, mm-hmm. you can say what? I know I'm saved. I don't care. I don't care what you say. He said, I know I'm sealed. So here's another guy. He says, well, you can be saved, but you can be unsaved. And he said, well, you mean tell me I can break the seal? The day I can break the seal, that's the day of redemption is the opening date, and I can break that seal? I can?
Man, no way.
Mm-hmm. One verse would cure that, wouldn't it? If he said you sealed until the day of redemption, and then a guy comes and says, yeah, but you can break that seal. Show me. Show me the verse. Mm-hmm. Show me the verse so I can believe that.
Yeah.
You can't. I can show you other verses that prove that you can't break that seal.
Amen.
He said, matter of fact, that was one of the things where the king, remember Daniel was in the, when Daniel had to go into the lion's den, and the king said this. He says, I can't reverse my commandment because when I wrote it, I sealed it with my ring, my sign that the purpose should not be reversed. He says, you got to go in here, Daniel. I like you. So you think about this. If God says, I sealed you, what about God? The purpose is sure concerning us. We're just as good as heaven as, and we are. He said this, we're already seated together. We're just waiting for the transport.
How many Christians have been baptized more than one time?
You know what? That's another point. He said that in Colossians, he talked about the operation of God.
Yes.
Where Paul talks about one baptism, he means the kind that comes with the sealing. With the one you don't believe. Yeah, we believe the water part. We believe that. We believe that part. We don't believe the one that he says by one spirit. The one, yeah. Right, you got to feel this one. But he says, you know what? He says, when you've been baptized in Christ, you've been circumcised in Christ, you've been resurrected in Christ. He says, and that's the operation of God. That's what he does by the Spirit after you believe. How many people know what happened after they believe for salvation? Those are the things that matter. Those are things that you can strap your helmet on tight where it won't shake you up. When things start happening, you know what? He says, look, you've been sealed, been baptized, you've been circumcised, you've been resurrected in Christ. Look at verse 14. He says, and this is the earnest
guarantee.
Of our, the what?
Guarantee.
The guarantee that you belong to him.
From God who cannot lie.
From God that cannot lie. He cannot lie.
So the people that got baptized with water more than one time, they keep thinking maybe that they have been so bad that they need to redo it again, or they just they're insuring their first time, or what?
Looking for their
you know what? You never know.
Yeah.
They haven't been taught.
That's right, James.
You know what Titus said this. Titus 3:5. He said this. He says that we've been renewed and regenerated by the washing of water. By the whole, I'm messing that up. Look at Titus 3. The renewing, there you go. He says, not by 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us, what?
Abundantly
through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to eternal life. He says, the Holy Spirit does the washing and the regenerating. So if he does that, you think a preacher can get you cleaner than the Holy Ghost? You sure?
Yeah.
But those are things, you know what? We have to embrace those by faith. We have to believe those. And those are things that they're there for all believers. It has happened to all believers. But it's, you know, the lady is a lady in the Gospels where she was walking and she said, and I think we talked about this before. She says, you know what? If I just touch him, the hem of his garment. Mm-hmm. She said, what is that? The healing part. But it's something she said. She said, I think the scripture said that she said in her heart.
Yeah.
She said in her heart. That if I could just touch him, what she was seeing and her faith mixed together. She says, all I got to do is touch him. And if I touch him, I'll be healed. Mm-hmm. And she did. And you know what? Everybody was bumping him and pushing him and he's walking through the crowd. And it's all of a sudden he stops. He says, "Who touched me?"
Mm-hmm. He knew who touched him.
But you know what the thing is that she knew that he didn't have to say, "Woman, you are healed." He didn't even you know what? She knew. Mm-hmm. She because what her action was mixed with faith. She knew. She said, "I know it's in him, and all I got it. He don't even have to talk to me." All I got to do is touch him. Mm-hmm. And she did. And he says, the scripture said he perceived that virtue had went out of him.
Yeah.
That's neat. Because I'm the woman. I'm thinking of the woman. I'm thinking, you know what, where you read these things and all you have to do is when you read this is to believe it. Mm-hmm. But how many of us, for one, we don't hear it. We're stuck back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Psalm, Deuteronomy. But when we come here, nobody talks about these things.
That's why you're here, Frank.
Well, that's why we're here.
You know what, Frank? I think because it's a country, I'm not going to say with everybody, but it's a contradiction to what they're teaching to fleece the flock.
To fleece the flock. That sounds good.
And you know what? And most people don't believe that. You can take them to a verse that says, you know what? Their sermons designed to fleece the flock. And you'll read it and it says, I don't believe that. Okay, well, go ahead and get plucked. Because that's what...
Jesus.
You can't say that it's not happening because he's telling you that it's happening.
Well, where's that at?
I know what God said.
Timothy. Mm-hmm. You know where God said is happening, but you are reading and say, I don't believe that.
Well,
Okay.
Here, you read it.
You know what? It's, I know it. Huh?
No, I just said false teachers.
And see, we don't. What will stop you from benefiting from the information is the fact that you don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you don't believe, we will always struggle with what God's doing, how he's doing it, when, what, where, why, how. And we'll never, Romans 15 is where we'll stop, we'll never have, look at that, he says.
This big enemy, yeah, what?
The big butt enemy. Yeah.
Yeah, but.
He says, verse 15:13. That's what I was, says. Now, the God of hope.
This is Timothy, right?
Romans 15:13. He says, now, Romans 15:13.
Romans.
He says, now the God of hope. Fill you. You sitting here with all joy and peace in what?
Believing.
In believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Is, you know what? When you believe, it'll unlock the power that God has in his word for you, to give you joy and peace when you believe it.
Yes.
I know you say, that's it?
Yeah,
that's it. That's
as simple as salvation. He makes it simple.
And you know, and I know the reason why we don't enjoy those things is because, like Angela said, if it's not something you can hold in your hand, put in your pocket, prop up and look at.
Something you can do.
You can't use a remote control.
We automatically
achieve.
It loses half the interest just by that.
Mm-hmm.
Because until we mature enough to appreciate what God has done.
Mm-hmm. I think all that goes to man's desire to control it.
Yeah.
If you see it, touch it, whatever, you can control it. You can see the boundaries of it. You can push it to the limit. You can all those things rather than just.
If it's out of your control,
right.
It's out of your control.
Right. Which is the difference between
so long. So you have to pull out the weeds and plant new seeds.
That's right.
Which is the difference between commitment and surrender. Who's in control?
That's you know what, and I like what you said. Is we definitely. When you realize it's not my program, that's 90% of us. 90% of us, we still walk around saying, what is God? Okay, I heard what he said. I'm on the way home. Okay, what is God going to do for me today? You can be driving home and you still have that in your mind. What is God going to do for me?
It's like all of us are like the center of our own universe.
I don't think we did.
And what is he? And you look at it, he's done all that he could do.
Yeah. That's why he's sitting down.
And he can't do no more, like Popeye. All you have is in Christ. And all he's trying to get you to see is look to him. And everything is in him. And as you begin to embrace those things by faith, you realize that, wow, it's been there all along.
Yep.
After I believed, I just didn't go further in my belief.
And the reason is, I didn't study this book.
That's
the information.
All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time spent around your word. We know that this